This
is the Rich Eisen Show.
Y'all ready?
Say,
all right, let's go.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
What have you learned about Bijan Robinson?
He's one of the most mature players I've ever dealt with this much hype and expectation.
They're going to throw it to Bijan out in space, and he made the first guy miss. He'll get to the five and score. Holy smokes.
Today's guests, two-time Super Bowl champion and Greenlight podcast host, Chris Long. Plus, your phone calls, Overreaction Monday, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, indeed. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. The first day of year two of our relationship with Roku and the Roku channel. We're excited to celebrate that day with the greatest platform known to mankind. We're thrilled to be right here live and free on the Roku channel, free on all Roku devices, select Samsung smart TVs. We're also free on Amazon Fire TV. We are free on the Roku app because the Roku channel .com is on it as well. We're thrilled to be on the internet tubes. We're thrilled to be with you on Sirius XM Odyssey and this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate. It is the National Football League season. We've got 15 games of week one to talk about in the books, and we've got a big, huge Monday night football game tonight. The Buffalo Bills against the New York Jets. Aaron Rodgers about to be unwrapped for all of us Jets fans to be thoroughly enthralled by and thrilled by, or thoroughly disappointed. It's either one of those. It's one of the extremes. You can't just be in the middle, because that's just the way my 54 years on planet Earth of being a football fan has been all about. But that's just me. Let's talk about you. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Good to see you over there, Christopher Brockman. How are you?
Rich, I'm great.
Are you ready for your two-a-day? We've got this show, and then we will be recording the Overreaction Monday podcast. After our program, we have Overreaction Monday, our usual drill on our Monday program, right in the middle of this show.
The overreactions are hot. I'm ready.
Okay, Chris Long is about to join us in about 20 minutes' time from the Greenlight podcast. DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts. How are you over
Good morning,
there,
Rich.
Sir?
How you doing?
Good to see you. And TJ Jefferson, I knew this is what I would see when I walked in the door, but go for it, TJ. Go ahead. You got to turn your mic.
I was over here laughing. How about them Cowboys?
Very good.
Thank you.
Here we go.
Wow.
Hour number one has begun.
Can I get it, Mike?
By the way,
Mike, give it to me when we lose.
How about them Cowboys?
That's the one. That's the one. That's kind of a metaphor. It's kind of a metaphor of last night's game.
Hey, it was one game, Rich.
No. The way you just started is kind of like the metaphor of last night's game, because the Giants came out of the box looking great on Sunday Night Football. I mean, Daniel Jones was running. Saquon was running. Daniel Jones was elusive. That's the guy that we saw in Minnesota last year, winning a playoff game, their final win of the season, eliminating the Vikings from the postseason, the Giants winning a playoff game for the first time since the Super Bowl that they had beaten New England in, their last of two. So they came out just like that, and then their rookie center on third down rolls one towards Daniel Jones, and I mean, who knew that was the finger in the dike, and then the entire dam broke, because that led to a blocked field goal for a touchdown by the Dallas Cowboys, whose defense then came out on the field and began a will imposition that is quite rare to see in week one.
It's an interesting way to put it.
An imposition of will. Mm. As Michael Parsons X'd out after the game. Y'all thought this was a game. Hashtag doomsday, I guess that's what they're calling themselves.
Yeah, I think
they were the hot boys with a Z a few years ago, but that was before Dan Quinn came in there.
Brought doomsday back.
And started bringing doomsday back.
He tweeted that out.
Thank you. He and the rest of that Dallas Cowboys defense last night showed everybody exactly why the Cowboys have Super Bowl aspirations, because that was a Super Bowl championship style tail kicking on Sunday Night Football. And the special teams unit was the first unit to get out there and score a touchdown. And then the defense scored a touchdown, which just proves to you think Dak's under pressure? He is not under pressure one iota
literally
if the special teams and defensive units are putting points on the board. That means his points are gravy, which is kind of nuts to say. And Mike McCarthy dialing up the offense for Dak, that was supposed to be a total stepping on their own football Johnson type of decision made by him and the Joneses. Let's send Kellen Moore out west, the young wunderkind X and O's guy. Let's bring back Mike McCarthy in his Amon Green, Eddie Lacy way of doing things.
Eddie Lacy?
Yeah, I just said it. Bring back Mike dialing up plays for Dak. We're going to run the ball more just as we watch Zeke walk out the door to New England. I even said, that's the concern for me because I'm not worried about Dak when Brandon Cooks is coming in to start cooking the top of the defense and CeeDee Lamb is back and Michael Gallup is healthy and that offensive line is healthy and paid and Jerry Jones didn't do what the Chiefs are at this point continuing to do, which is deal with a holdout of somebody in the trenches that you need. They got Zach Martin paid. He's out there, and you saw the results last night on NBC. 40-0, your final score. How rare is that?
How rare is it?
Well, actually, do you know how rare it is?
Yeah, pretty rare. Like
I looked at, I had NFL Research look it up. I'm not saying I did. I reached out as soon as this game was toast and over. How often have we seen a 40-point margin of victory in an opening week shutout W?
Opening week shutout.
Opening week shutout W where you've put up 40 and the other team has put up zero. Nice. The answer, we have seen it now 6 times in the Super Bowl era. This is the latest such time and the latest such instance in which we have seen it. One team actually back in the day did it. The Washington team did it, and they wound up making the Super Bowl back in the day.
Interesting.
6 times we have now seen it. And the Lions did it in 1970. First one to do it. The Browns did it in 89, 51-0, the only 50-burger. The Steelers, the Cowboys, and the reason why I mention Washington, 45-0, they're the only ones on that list right there to win the Super Bowl, which Dallas can most certainly do. And I am not saying it just because of what I saw, because Dak and the offense wasn't fully clicking. But what was that defense? And that kid who never played college sports,
yeah,
former MLS star, if he can make field goals like that.
I was ready to cut him after his first miss.
No, I know, because it was raining like cats and dogs. He missed his first extra point. Otherwise, it would have been
41-0.
41-0. Yeah. What a game. Congratulations, sir.
Thank you.
To salute.
We're on to the Jets.
I know. That's next up, but, you know. We in Jetland are taking it one game at a time, and tonight's a pretty big one. But Dallas showed everybody the decisions that they made from the draft to Mike McCarthy getting the play calling to Dak doing what he did last night. How many interceptions did you throw last night?
That's zero.
Same number of points the Giants scored. And that defense, that is a special, special defense for sure. Dallas Cowboys got it done. Well done. While the Eagles struggled against New England, and we'll talk about that later on in this program.
He also didn't get sacked yesterday either.
Hey, brother, well done. And then let's talk about, in my mind, a bit of a surprise, despite me choosing them to go to the Super Bowl and win their conference. You know how high I was on the Pittsburgh Steelers coming into the season? Still am. Just 1 week. It still is just 1 week.
Yeah.
It still is 1 week, but in the same way, and I understand you're making that noise, Chris, same way that I just said I saw 1 week of Dallas Cowboys football, and I can say that's a Super Bowl-looking team right there that's going to come into your house and impose its will and beat you up in all three phases and spit you out and cause you to get in a fetal position and wonder about your very existence like the Cowboys did to the Giants and the reigning coach of the year on Sunday night. So I understand that the Steelers do have a lot going for them. And I thought the San Francisco 49ers in the past, last year, perfect example, Trey Lance going into rainy Chicago. If I'm not mistaken, a couple years ago, they lost in Atlanta in a week one contest. San Francisco going east, playing in an early window game, always tough for a West Coast team to do, certainly in Western Pennsylvania with so much going on for the Steelers. And the 49ers went into Pittsburgh and curb stomped them. I mean, absolutely mudholed the Pittsburgh Steelers in front of their home fans, all excited. This thing was a wrap, just three possessions in the game. And Brock Purdy looked unflappable. This is why Trey Lance was made third string, not just because of him, but because Sam Darnold performed, and the reason why neither of them were considered to start, this kid, Brock Purdy. Honestly, he doesn't throw for 300 yards. You don't have to if Christian McCaffrey's running 65 yards, getting blocks from not one but two receivers down the field. You don't have to. All you got to do is find Brandon Ayuk in the end zone twice like he did. The Niners beat the Steelers up with one Debo kind of tied behind their back. Debo didn't really do very much.
No.
McCaffrey did. Ayuk did. Kittle didn't go off. The defense went off. Holy smokes, did that defense go off. Short fields. They got Purdy a bunch of short fields to start the game. Made it nice and easy for him, and he didn't make it difficult on himself. Holy smokes. Did the San Francisco 49ers also look super? Man, oh man, last year's division matchup between the Cowboys and the Niners. Can we have that, please, sometime in January? Because I'd love to see them go at it. We will see them beforehand. San Francisco plays Dallas this year on Sunday night, week five, out west. I'm jumping ahead in the script.
Wait a second, I got to catch up. Hold
on. But San Francisco did to Pittsburgh first what the Cowboys did to the Giants last. The first major warning shot around the league was fired from Western Pennsylvania by the San Francisco 49ers to say, Bosa's in the fold, the defense is rolling. Pittsburgh has a lot going for it, but it was Kenny Pickett's first week one start, and he did not look as if he could handle what was placed in front of him. Didn't help that Deontay Johnson got hurt in the first half of that game, but that game was essentially over when Deontay Johnson got hurt. I don't know what the Steelers are doing at the running back position, but maybe they went Jaylen Warren because they needed points fast, and Najee is a guy who can be rolled downhill when you're trying to extend a game or protect a lead or impose your will. That imposing of will went out the door at the end of the first quarter, by the end of the first quarter. It was like, oh my gosh, we've got to stop spinning our wheels and we've got to make sure we can get first downs together. That's what the Niners did to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I chose the Steelers in this game because I thought the Niners, again, going east, taking on a team that I was very high on in Pittsburgh, would have their hands full. And instead, we're watching McCaffrey run like the wind. Ayuk twice in the end zone.
Pretty big call early in the game. Looked like Brock Purdy clearly fumbled and TJ Watt recovered. Steelers challenge rightfully, and it was upheld as not a fumble. I thought that was...
No, and I understand that there's momentum swings that can happen early on in a game.
That might have got the Steelers
anything.
Back on track. It wouldn't have been a three-score game at that point. Maybe they could come down and get some points. That's a different game. I thought that was a pretty blown call.
I think the day was kind of written early on. I don't know how many comebacks we saw yesterday. I mean, the Patriots were one that kind of made a comeback that I didn't see coming.
Do you want to talk about that?
We could talk about that. We've got Chris Long coming up shortly.
I have some thoughts.
I'm sure you do. But I just thought the Niners showed and the Cowboys showed, and the Eagles got through the day as we're talking about who can battle in the NFC. You got to mention those three, and then you got to mention the team that started the week, the Detroit Lions. You got to throw all of them out there. And then the NFC South, everybody won except Carolina. So that's a fascinating shocker. The Rams shocked. Shoot. That was a major shocker. Bro. I've got my top five most pleasant surprises of week one coming up in hour number three. And then we will dive deep into the game of the day, I thought. And that was the one just down the 105, just up the road.
Yeah, buddy.
In SoFi Stadium, the Chargers and the Dolphins. Holy smokes. Tyreek Hill just scored again. And if I feel as if I'm a little bit off today, I was going against Tyreek Hill in fantasy.
Oh, baby.
And that left a mark. As a matter of fact, it needs to be covered by makeup. Oof. That's how deep of a mark it was.
Am I reading the chart?
Uh-huh. Tyreek Hill just scored again. So 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Overreaction Monday, our segment, middle of the show. Overreaction Monday, our podcast, will be inside your podcast inbox well before kickoff of tonight's Jets-Bills game, which we'll also discuss. Chris Long of Greenlight Podcast fame and also the Inside the NFL, our weekly Monday guest for a second straight season, is coming up next.
Wait. Are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down, really. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
On October 5th, Loki is back in a brand new season.
Reunited. That's right.
The countdown is on.
I've been waiting.
Don't miss the return of Marvel's most watched Disney Plus show.
Loki.
Loki. Loki.
A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
His time is running out.
You better run!
Marvel Studios' Loki Season 2. New episodes streaming October 5th, only on Disney Plus.
Back here on the program, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We are back here on the program on the Roku channel. Oh, boy.
Week one, Rich.
Week one. What a weekend.
It was fun.
A lot going on.
Yeah, a lot going on.
Lots going on behind the scenes.
But we made it.
Hyman Roth was happy.
Hyman Roth was very happy. It's good to see Michael Irvin back on NFL Network. On game day morning, that was a good one. Pleased to have it. Also, tonight I'll be at the microphone for Westwood One for Monday Night Football.
I don't want to get surprised when I'm just driving around and you pop up on the radio.
Hey! Now you know.
Hey. Thanks for the heads up.
You're welcome.
It's always wild when I'm watching or listening to something and I hear a familiar voice. I'm like, oh, that's Rich.
I got that last night on Twitter because my voiceover cameo debuted Winning Timeline.
That's why I didn't specify what it was, but I was like, wait a second.
Yes, it did.
That's good.
So that happened last night.
I got to say, this season on Winning Time is so weird.
Careful. We want that show to continue.
I absolutely want that show to continue, but we've crammed three seasons of basketball into six episodes.
Is it, you sure you're not down on it because Jeff Perlman, the author from whose book this show emanated, says that this show needs to continue because we don't want it to end with a Boston championship?
No, I'm fine with that, actually.
Okay.
I mean, a spoiler alert, Celtics win in 84.
Yeah.
Come on, TJ.
TJ, you got yours. Sixers won in 83.
That's true.
You're good. We're good.
That was the only one that I've ever gotten in my lifetime.
Yeah, that Knicks champion. Wait a minute. I'm being told.
Didn't happen. Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Oh, boy. The Jets and the Bills tonight.
Yeah.
1 to 10, Rich. How excited are you?
11. I'm there Spinal Tap 11.
These go to 11.
Would you mind looking up the weather?
Oh, I'll do it for you.
Well, I mean, because I imagine the rain's gone, right? Is the rain gone?
The rain passed. I'm thinking,
that was so. I was pounding. The rain in Washington got so insane, and then it was sunny at the end. It rained in Cincinnati. It rained in New England.
Oh yeah.
Belichick. Does Belichick love to show everybody doesn't care if it's raining more than any coach in the National Football League? No hoodie. No nothing.
No nothing.
He's got the towel around him like he's going 12 rounds.
Hold on. Let me look at the hourly forecast.
I'll tell you this right now. There's still a flood watch
in New Jersey.
From
what I'm seeing, there is a flood watch. Yeah, you're right.
Theoretically, the rain.
Hold on a second. I'm going hourly, right? So what time is kick?
It's 80
eight something. So the thunderstorms should be out of there by then.
But I'll take a running game.
25%.
I'll take a running game. I'll take a running game.
We've been the under tonight.
Heavy stuff's not going to fall.
I don't know what you mean by that. Joining us here in his usual Monday spot, just like last year, we're thrilled to have the host of Greenlight Podcast and one of the analysts of the newfangled Inside the NFL on the CW, our friend Chris Long, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Christopher?
Rich, did you guys say unders?
I don't know what you mean.
Yeah, unders. Chris, it takes a man to bet unders.
Yeah, I guess I'm a man because week one, it's like taking candy from a baby.
Is that what happened last? Because again, I don't. I'm like the unfrozen caveman host when it comes to that, being an NFL guy. I don't know what your terms confuse me. was it an under day yesterday, Chris?
Yeah, a little bit. Usually, week ones, you want to bet the home divisional dogs. You want to bet the dogs. You usually want to bet the Steelers, not yesterday, and the unders.
I mean, how wild was that game that Niners just blew the doors off of them, Chris? Did that surprise you?
No, I mean, I put the Niners in the Super Bowl this year. You know, I think Brock Purdy's great. The big question was going to be, what's he look like off that surgery? I think in a couple years, you'll look at him as one of those top 10 quarterbacks. I mean, I know sometimes the weapons get held against him, but he makes a lot of great throws off schedule, off platform. I just thought Pittsburgh wasn't ready, man. You know, the linebackers were all turned around. The rushers looked great up front for San Francisco. Drake Jackson, you know, all their supporting role guys. And then to get Nick Bosa off the beach. I mean, he's down there in Florida just hanging out, waiting to get paid. He looked great. So, you know, I thought a big win for San Francisco. They look even better than last year in some ways. And Pittsburgh's just got to flush it. You know, if I'm getting on the plane and I'm Pittsburgh and I'm Mike Tomlin, I'm saying, look around at the AFC North. Watch these games. We can still compete.
So, but being unprepared is not usually something you hear in relation to Mike Tomlin, Chris.
Yeah, no, I mean, if you look at them the last 3 years, you know, and I'll interject a little gambling here, but like they cover the last 3 years. I mean, they covered his dogs. They won those games outright. They remember them beating Cincinnati. And then 3 years ago, they went up to New York, took care of business, beat them by more than a touchdown. So usually Mike Tomlin in this spot with time to prepare the whole thing. I was really excited about Kenny Pickett, still am. I'm still on the hype train. I'd love to see them get the ball to Pickens more. You know, in an offense like that, that's kind of anemic at times, I would get the ball to your best playmaker. And Deontay Johnson is a guy who's got to have a better year, right? You got to find ways to get him in the end zone, the whole thing. So tough first game, but that's as tough a test as you're going to have.
So why do you say look around the rest of the AFC North and say we could still win? I mean, do you throw out the Bengals and the fact that this is what happens when Cleveland plays Cincinnati, or you just weren't as impressed as by Cleveland? What?
No, I mean, I'm just not a believer in Cleveland, not to the level that some people are. I think they're a good football team. That run game is scary, and that was the perfect setting for them to run the rock in front of, you know, 70,000 wet Ohioans, wet, confident Ohioans, man. They were going nuts, and Wyatt Teller had, like, the pancake of all pancakes. Yes. He took a guy 66 feet, you know, put him on public transportation, dropped him off in the red zone. I love the blocking up front from those guys, and Njoku getting involved on that very same run. But defensively, I thought the big story was this. You know, Jim Schwartz heating up Joe Burrow, taking away the middle of the field, running a lot of cover one. And those first couple third downs, I feel like it was a smart thing to do with Joe Burrow not taking a bunch of snaps in preseason with the injury. You know, you got a bunch of guys that didn't take snaps because their teams decided, hey, we're not going to play the quarterback. Some guys are holding out. But this is a guy that needs to process. And I think Jim's saying, hey, we're going to speed this thing up for you. It's pretty scary when they get in five down, you know, and Myles Garrett's walking over the center. You know, it's terrifying, and you can't get into your empty stuff. So it's a tough matchup for them. I do think Deshaun has a long way to go before I think he's the Deshaun of old. And you know, the Bengals struggle in the beginning of the season.
Chris Long, two-time Super Bowl champion and host of Greenlight Pod, and also on Inside the NFL right here on the Rich Eisen Show. The Chris Long Bowl, if you will, Eagles-Patriots. What was your takeaway from that game, Chris?
I love the Eagles D-line. That's my takeaway. Obviously, you know, from the Patriots side, I think you got to come away a little bit encouraged. I don't know if that sounds weird to Pats fans, but Mac Jones looked more like Mac Jones. I mean, that's more like the guy I know. You know, now he did let that ball get away from them, and that ended up being the difference in the game on the pick. But, you know, I thought that there's something there with this defense. They kept the points down. They took the middle of the field away. Goddard didn't really get involved. They heated Jalen up in key situations. And honestly, you've got 10 points to come off of the Zeke fumble and the pick six. So from the Pat standpoint, I'm pretty excited for them. You know, not like high-key excited, like low-key excited. Now, when it comes to the Eagles, that D-line's the engine. And they took 29 snaps in the fourth quarter. And that's exhausting. And that's the reason you have the guys platooning. Jalen Carter, I was told, is the best defensive player on that roster.
Wow.
Okay, I was told that in preseason.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked like it yesterday. I mean, when he gets tilted in that three technique and he gets out a little wide, the guards are really uncomfortable because they're thinking, I got to set out to this big old guy. And he's got that inside move down. I thought 93, the kid from Louisiana Tech, played really well. And then my guy, Fletcher Cox, who late in his career has had to take on this more of this vet role. You know, sometimes that's hard. You're not going to be on the field all the time. They have a chance to tie this game. It's 22-14. Fletch on the same drive, pressure early in the drive. Then he's got a TFL on a key down, and he forces an incompletion that gets him off the field on another pressure. So I just love seeing Fletcher Cox show up in that big spot, you know, especially with the role he's got.
But the eye test, I mean, Mac Jones looked in this game certainly to put a couple touchdowns up on the board in time for Tom Brady's ceremony at halftime to be more of a celebration of a game that wasn't a blowout and an actual competition. He looked far better in this game than I saw maybe any point last year, Chris, just the eye test alone.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? It's, he threw some really nice tight window balls over the middle of the field. Like they got to get back to that. The touchdowns were nice. You know, it's, he's got a real offensive coordinator. And I think the stuff that Bill ran at Bama, you know, you can draw some things from that. I think Mac's going to be a lot more comfortable. But on the Eagles side, the one thing I would look at is, you know, linebacker room. Nakobe Dean might miss some time. You know, Ellis is out there. He might not be out. In an ideal world, he's not on the field as much as he is. It's a room that they've been able to overlook because they have great D linemen. But that's a level of defense I'm a little bit concerned about.
And then another franchise that's on your career playing for list, the Rams. How about the Los Angeles Rams going in and absolutely punking the Seahawks in front of the 12s with Bobby Wagner's return and Geno Smith coming off as comeback player of the year, and them having a second half dominant performance? The numbers support it, and so does the W. Where did that one come from, Chris?
McVay's a great coach, man. He really is. I mean, you know, you talk about he's had that team ready to go every week one pretty much. That he's coached that team. And I think, you know, with Cooper Kupp going on IR, hand up here, I did not believe they had an opportunity to win that game. In fact, you know, you're talking about the Seahawks and Witherspoon possibly being down before the game and Jamal Adams, I said, you know, like maybe if these guys are 70%, you should rest them. You know, I was so overconfident. I think the Seattle Seahawks are a good football team, but they laid an egg. And those two young receivers, they go and get that kid Nakua from BYU in the fifth round. I mean, this guy is a legit player. He's a legit player. They definitely picked on the corner that was up because they were down their rookie. But, you know, these two guys, Tutu and Puka Nakua, had a great game. And they didn't even run the ball. So I think for Seattle, juxtapose that game to last year when they had something to prove. They need to remember who they are. You know, in that first game last year, Russell Wilson was coming to town. They played like their hair was on fire. You got to get back to being that team that's hungry. Don't get fat and happy because you had one good year. And I think that would be the message in the locker room.
Yeah, I very rare for me to say this. The Seahawks gained 12 yards on 14 offensive plays in the second half yesterday. And 9 of those 12 came in garbage time at the end. They essentially had 3 second half yards. And the Rams shocked. And they used a bunch of guys that's on no one's fantasy teams. And that includes Stafford, to be very honest. And the thing that's everyone's talking about more than anything, Chris Long, is the fact that Geno Smith, as he's in the pocket, a microphone, I guess, that was worn by the center, picked up him saying the words, "Oh, my God," as Aaron Donald was about to hit him. Did you ever cause anybody to say those words as you were coming towards anyone, Chris?
I caused a couple offensive tackles to say go, 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 which is something you sometimes hear when you beat a tackle, like, you know, he'll yell at the quarterback. But it was like Aaron popped out of a closet and he was surprised. It was funny, man. But Aaron Donald looks great. He still looks great. He's playing with a bunch of guys you hadn't heard of, right? DK Metcalf, hadn't heard of him, but they're playing good ball. They got better second level guys than you would probably think, and they're well coached. So I don't know what they want to do this year. You know, they're one of these teams that I think we can overestimate how much teams are like, oh, I have a plan. I'm going to be good or I'm not going to be good. We're going to punt on this season. I've said for a long time that the Rams should be hitting the reset button. I caught a lot of flack last year for saying they should trade Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald. One of those guys is gone now. I think the other guy, if this season goes south, you never know what could happen. But if they can be competitive with that group, who knows?
Chris Long, a few more minutes left with the Green Light podcast host, 2-time Super Bowl champion, and also part of CW's Inside the NFL this year, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. It just seems to me, when you see the Dolphins do what they did with Tyreek Hill and Tua, I know there were times last year where we thought to ourselves, they're unstoppable. And then, on occasion we saw it, you know, obviously Tua being hurt would be a difference maker. But how do you stop them? Can you stop them? Are they stoppable?
Well, it's like, you know, there were games last year where you could say, hey, you know, they're going to have a down game. And one of them might have been that Chargers game, right? You know, they really pressed them last year, played a lot of man. It was like whatever they did, though, yesterday, they couldn't stop them. And I think a big credit to Mike McDaniels, obviously. Tyreek Hill could make an argument for being the most valuable non-quarterback in the league. But Tua probably played his best fourth quarter. Like, this was – like, this guy made some throws yesterday. The throw where he climbed the pocket to hit Tyreek on the right sideline was brilliant. And the throw rolling left, I think it was Berrios on 3rd and 15 – these are great throws. The fade route was perfect. So I thought Tua really, just with all eyes on him, Justin Herbert, having lost that game, and really last year they didn't play well, to come out there with that bad taste in their mouth and play that way, I don't know how you beat them. I mean, offensively, I don't know what you do. Now, the Chargers' run offense was really good, and that's something they'll want to get shored up and that sort of thing, but the Dolphins offensively are scary, and they find space. You know, a slant to Waddle can turn into 35 yards. It's terrifying. So, and I also want to shout out Jalen Phillips. He's probably the guy, if you were drafting defensive players from that defense, that I might take first.
Really?
Yeah, and, you know, I'd look hard at some of the guys in the secondary and that sort of thing, but especially up front, including the guy they went out and mortgaged the future for with Chubb, I think Jalen Phillips is an absolute stud. With the game on the line, he had a big pressure on 3rd and 5. And then with the game on the line, he's lined up, you know, all the way out in Temecula outside the chipper. and he's got to run 15 yards. He closes that distance fast, dips under the tackle, and the game's over. I mean, Vic Fangio heating up Justin Herbert at the right times on first down to create that intentional grounding, which is a drive killer, and then with the game on the line, another blitz. Great, great performance by them in crunch time.
It just seems there's always something missing with this Charger team, Chris. I don't know. It's just, again, this
rushers.
I don't know what is because the line didn't sack him. I just don't know what it is. They didn't sack him, and Teron Armstead is out, and that's Khalil Mack, and that's Joey Bosa. J.C. Jackson commits some dumb, huge, boneheaded pass interference penalty that cost them 3 points. They lose by two. There's always a decision made here and there that's odd. Kellen Moore's supposed to be there to help him push the ball down the field. I know they apparently had two deep safeties, but what's going on? Like, where he was checking down, and I don't know. I don't know if this is just because they lost.
I'm not going to panic about the Chargers' offense, okay. But I am a little worried about, you know, like who's going to get home if Joey's not getting home, if Khalil's not getting home, because Joey had some nice rushes yesterday. But as you mentioned, these two tackles and the timing, you know, Tua hits his back foot in the middle of the field, it's open, you know, it's so I think they've got to get guys inside that can win rushes. If you want to beat Tua, you need pressure in his face. I mean, it's a cliche when you talk about quarterbacks, but you know, you got to dent that pocket in the middle, and they couldn't do it. And so I want to give props to those tackles.
Couple more minutes left with Chris Long. Your impression of the Cowboys? I mean, is that what you expected? Sunday night?
Listen, that game should probably be. I think Brian Daboll was right. Like, I don't think the Giants are competing for the NFC East. He didn't say that. I said that. But, you know, every time they play an elite, it seems like they get the doors blown off them. The Eagles last year, it's like when you know that's where you have to go, you see how far it is. You know, I'm not crazy about the wide receiver room. Daniel Jones, huge contract. He's going to be under a lot of pressure, but that game should probably be 27-10, right? I mean, totally different game than they had on their script. I mean, the first drive they're going down, they're going to get points. They get a field goal blocked. There's another defensive touchdown. Everything went wrong. And I think Brian Daboll said it right after the game. It was like, I'm not going to get up here and make it about me, which a lot of coaches do after a game like that, where they start yelling and they say, you know, guys didn't give effort. It's going to be a long flight, whatever. Daboll was like, listen, we didn't execute, which is what happened. Now, what he didn't say is we got a long way to go from a talent standpoint, which I think is true. But it was a torrential downpour, the whole thing. The game played into their hands, and the Giants can't play from behind on teams.
And then last one for you, just to combine a couple of other games, Chris, who won do you think is more of an indication of who they're going to be this year, Raiders or Packers?
Packers.
Chris, you didn't stop.
Packers. I think the Packers are, I'll wait a couple weeks before I use the G word, but they're a good team, I think, possibly this year, especially in that division. Jordan Love's going to be a guy that everybody roots for. I mean, you know, he's been sitting in a dark room for 4 years. No pun intended, watching film of Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, it's his turn. And we were talking about it on our show. Because Kyle, my brother, was like, I'm careful saying this, but he makes some Rodgers-y throws where, you know, like they're very creative arm angles and that sort of thing. And, you know, when you watch a guy for 4 years, it's like being a kid and, you know, hanging around your dad, you pick up some of the same vernacular, you see the same mannerisms. And, you know, I think, you know, and it's not how he would have drawn it up, but this is a really, really good way to get your first start in normal circumstances. I'm not talking about the Chiefs game. I'm talking about just waiting and being surrounded by some good talent. Dobbs, who I've had on my fantasy team, I feel like since he got in the league, and then this year somebody drafted him, took him out from under me. But Dobbs, Watson didn't play. You know, and on defense, you have a stable of rushers that got better as the year went on last year, and a coordinator who probably went a long way to saving his job security a little bit. So I think this team is actually pretty decent. I don't think the Raiders are that good, but, you know, we'll see.
We'll see. All right, I lied. One last one. Chase, did you hear what he had to say after the game? Hold on a second. I want to play it, and I'll get your opinion. This is what Ja'Marr Chase, after the Browns just handed the lunch to
it's frustrating because Bengals. I called L's and we just lost to some L's, so I'm pissed on my part. I'm pissed on Allen that, and like I said, man, we got missed opportunities. We didn't capitalize on it, and we lost. So that's how we lost.
They lost to elves. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah. Yeah, elves. I love that. They really have a thing about that elf, you know, and I don't fully understand that logo, but I'm with Jamar Chase. But yeah, that's a real little rivalry they got going in the Bengals. They feel pressed by those guys. So circle that next game because it's going to be a lot of fun.
So how does that play in the locker room in Cleveland? I mean, what do you... I'm asking you to tap your former player to interpret.
I think there's a threshold, and once you cross that threshold, you know, everything's been set and there's no more bulletin board material. You get ready to play a team and we might know we're better, but we're not going to say it out loud because it might be somebody from a different division, or, you know, it's just not a parade. When you got a team in division that you don't like say the Saints and the Falcons, they don't tell any secrets about how they feel about each other. And it's the same thing with the Bengals and the Browns. And I like it. And if my best player, it'd be one thing if, and I don't want to pick a player out of the Bengals roster here, but like, let's say a third backer or something is like, oh, we're going to kick their ass next time we play them. Everybody's like, yo, calm down. But when Jamar Chase talks, he's one of your best players. That's fine. And, you know, he's going to have to go out and back it up.
Well, that'll be discussed way, way in the future in Week 18 when they face each other. So lots more football between now and then. Who's on your pod this week, Chris? What do you got for me?
So we've got my Inside the NFL teammate, Jay Cutler. He's going to be on Wednesday. And then Friday, we've got Stanford Steve, who got a lot more famous this offseason. He's on game day. So, yeah. And what an addition he is. So, yeah, star-studded cast this week.
Well, okay. Very good. I don't know if this is something you want to tell your guest. We just beat a team in the Fantasy Footballers League named F. Cutler.
Very creative.
We did tell
him. Is the guy from Chicago?
I don't know. Could be a lot of places, Chris, as you know.
Yeah,
so,
could be.
But just tell Jay we actually, you know, we did it for him. Okay.
Okay, cool. I will. All right, Rich. I appreciate you.
You got it. Get Greenlight Pod wherever you can get your podcasts. And of course, watch Inside the NFL on the CW every single week at Joel91. Chris Long, good to see you, sir. Thanks again for the time.
Good to see you.
You bet. That's the way we're rolling the break right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Lots to chew on right there. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We will take your calls as well here on this busy Monday of week one, 2023.
It could be information to change your life forever. Or the Something You Should Know podcast could just be something interesting.
My guest is Kim Zuckman. She is author of the book, There's No Cream in Cream Soda. I don't think I've ever really known the story of why they're called hot dogs.
There are so many legends about the name of the hot dog. When the Germans immigrants came over and they brought all of their sausages, they also brought their dachshunds. It really is because they kind of look like dachshunds.
Something You Should Know, wherever you listen.
Hey, it's Rich Eisen. You want an exciting and fast-paced podcast based on one of the most popular segments in the history of the Rich Eisen Show? Well, you got it. Overreaction Monday, hosted by me, Rich Eisen, and my compadre, Chris Brockman. And every Monday, we're going to dive into the headlines from pro and college football and overreact. Are you ready, Chris Brockman? Yay or nay?
Yes, Rich. No holding back, buddy. I'm coming for you.
Absolutely what you need to hear. Overreaction Monday, every single Wait For It Monday, wherever you listen.
What's great, man, are these, you know, we do a lot of NFL, NBA shows on Family Feud for Celebrity.
Right.
It's great, man, when regular people discover that celebrities don't know nothing. They don't. You think because a person is famous, they know more. They actually know less.
Yeah.
They know less than anybody else because they're exposed to less. Rich people don't know how much milk costs. You get out of touch, man. And when they come on Celebrity Family Feud, you find out how out of touch they are. They don't know anything, man. Like, one of the questions for the NFL team was, and we were asking a guy running back for the Packers, can't think of his name, but the question was, complete the sentence, strip And you spot, you know, like strip mall,
strip
poker,
strip sack. This could be even
strip sack. Yeah. I said, name, complete the word strip. He said, purr. Strip purr. I went, hold on, man. I quit breathing. How is that your point of reference to complete the word strip? Purr. P-E-R. That was it. I was done. That was one of my great moments.
And again, you just walk away and you realize it in the moment, like, okay, this is it, and I'm going to let this thing go.
Hey, after the show, he asked me, he said, Steve, is there any way we could edit that out? I said, sir, we're not editing that out. Matter of fact, we're going to embellish it. You're going to say purr so loud. Purr.
So much fun when Steve Harvey joined us at the Super Bowl in Miami back in the day. That was, if I'm not mistaken, Chiefs and the Niners, right? Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. I'll be on Westwood One tonight prior to Bills and Jets. And you can stream the NFL on Westwood One for free, sponsored by AutoZone. All season long, you can listen to every Westwood One broadcast of the NFL live on the NFL app. Just ask Alexa to open Westwood One Sports or on your Westwood One affiliate station's digital platforms. Kevin Harlan, Kurt Warner, and me all year long and free to get in the zone with AutoZone. AutoZone's free battery testing and charging is available for free at your local AutoZone. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Terzo in Iowa, you're here. All rise. What's up, Terzo? Your All Niners rise. Look terrific, brother.
Man, that was a fun game yesterday. That defense is
you.
Extremely fast. They gang tackle, just jump on whoever's got the ball, which tells me two things. One, they have a lot of talent. Two, that they're in the right place at the right time, and they are going to make a tackle. And it just stifled Kenny Pickett and that whole entire Steelers offense.
No doubt. They and you even heard Chris Long say they made him look unprepared, which is a word you never hear used with a Mike Tomlin team very often, Terzo. That's for sure.
I was extremely shocked that came out that way.
And one thing about your defense, and I appreciate the call. Thanks for the call, Terzo, is Steve Wilks is the coordinator. And it looked like DeMeco Ryans was coordinating it. And I'm not saying that to denigrate Ryans at all. I mean, Steve Wilks is a terrific coach. Look what he did with Carolina last year in a terrible situation. Terrible. Colorado Buffaloes football, 2-0. Texas beats Alabama.
Yeah, buddy.
That happened. Let's see how far Texas goes. Ohio State's best quarterback is currently beating Alabama for Texas. Ooh, boy, I love making myself laugh.
Ohio State won, right?
Yeah, they beat Youngstown. Right. Michigan beat UNLV. It's okay. Whatever.
You guys all have the same record.
I know that.
I don't know why you make me an Ohio State defender, but I have to.
You know, I don't make you do anything. You just talked. So I don't think I make you do a thing.
Slagging on a 2-0 team. I mean, just, you know, fair and balanced.
No, I just enjoy watching Quinn Ewers play football for Texas. What more can I say? That was a big win for the Longhorns.
That was awesome.
And we will see what happens with Sark moving forward.
Sark is back. Texas
Sark
is back.
Beats.
Welcome.
Saban. And Deion is 2-0 with Colorado. And Shedeur Sanders is crushing it. And Travis Hunter is doing Deion-type stuff. And they're 2-0. And they just did. It took them a half, but they did
took
to Nebraska what I thought they would do. And this was Deion after the game as they're now set to go to play Colorado State. They're staring at 3-0 right in the face.
Well, we expect it. I know it sounds kind of boastful. It sounds at the risk of sounding arrogant. We truly expect that, and that's why those kids come. They want the biggest stage, and they're getting that every during the week. And the numbers justify. What numbers did we have last week? Over 7 million?
Over 7 million.
7 million viewers on Fox. I think it was their biggest opening day in their history. First game out. So, shoot. I'm pretty sure these numbers are going to justify it as well.
Wait till the numbers hit. If he's 3-0, going to Oregon. And if he beats Oregon, if his team beats Oregon, wait till you see the numbers when USC comes to visit after that. And if you're sitting here again saying, why is he talking numbers of television ratings? Why would he do that? Because these are metrics that get kids to your school, because you will put them on big stages and have them prepared. Again, people miss out on this because they think Dion with his sunglasses talking about television ratings, showing up. That's the pay attention to that Fugazi while I beat you up with my preparedness and readiness. Everybody keep taking that cheese. Dion will be very happy if you keep taking that cheese. My way of, again, interpreting what I'm seeing, knowing this man as I do. Television ratings matter when you are ready to win on those stages. And that's what Oregon and USC will be a tale to be told later on.
Colorado, 7 p.m. Pacific. They're the late ESPN game Saturday night. 22-point favorites. They're now ranked 18th.
Look out. And when they beat Colorado State.
Yeah, I would imagine
top 15.
So,
it'll be a top 15 matchup against Oregon, which
no
I believe
question.
Is currently ranked 13th right now.
Oregon is 13. They're hosting my Hawaii. They're 38-point favorites. So it should be 3-0, top 15 matchup in 2 weeks.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's go.
This is happening, as they might say. This is indeed happening. Just in time for the Pac-12 to become the Pac-2. These poor, poor, poor conference administrators.
Also, Pac-12 has 8 teams ranked?
Yeah.
Well, because they're all winning. If I'm not mistaken, Stanford losing to USC became the first Pac-12 team to lose this year.
Yes, right.
That game was over at halftime.
Well, I mean, so this is happening.
Yeah.
And Dion and his Buffaloes are a happening. They're a happening. And he is happy to say that. And the kids are responding. And what he said, how much more different outside of the television ratings is what he said from what Dan Campbell said after the Lions beat the Chiefs? The only thing that was confirmed was what my expectation was confirmed.
What I thought we could do, yeah.
It's essentially what Dion just said. Kids expect it. But now, who's watching Colorado football asking off camera? Oh, everybody? Everybody. Okay. Who wants to come here now because I'm here? Oh, everybody? Everybody. That's his message to kids that might be somehow on the fence between his program and someone else's, including my own. He might be coming for everybody. It's Colorado State next, and then Oregon and USC. Yeah. What would it look like if he's 5-0 out of all that?
Well, they'll be in the top 10. They'll be top 8, probably. It'll be nuts.
The story of sports is what it would be.
1,000%.
Coming back for hour two in a moment.
Hey guys, it's Susie Schuster, and I am so excited for my new podcast coming out this fall. It is called What the Football with Susie Schuster and the Princess of Darkness, Amy Trask. If you're looking for a new podcast to listen to about jargon, heavy-legged waistbenders, this is not for you. We're going to have big girl conversations, and we are going super deep to bring you weekly guests that you won't find anywhere else. It is What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask, wherever you listen.